1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. Verse number 11. God's word, when you get there, say amen. All right. God's word reads like this. The other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Let me slow that down because sometimes we read it just that fast and we miss the point. Now, if any man shall build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Do you see the two classifications? On one hand, we have gold, silver, precious stones. On the other hand, we have combustible materials. Wood, hay, stubble. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now I hope tonight, one more time, that the Lord would deal with us. And it almost seems like it's just been a theme throughout this week, just to see things from a spiritual perspective. We said last night, wisdom is viewing life from God's point of view. And I hope tonight, by the Word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord, He can refocus us, reshape us, and help us truly think of eternal matters. I want to speak to us for just a little while tonight on this thought, the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. You going to help me tonight? Be so kind, would you please, to slip up your hands to heaven, your hearts to heaven, your voices to heaven. And let's pray in one mind and one accord that the Lord would have His way. Father, Lord, I'm forever thankful, God, for everything You've done this week already. God, we take away, God, memories and joyous times and blessings around these altars in which we are so grateful. But Lord, one more time, we ask You to move, to bless, to help us in this house. We need Your wisdom. We need Your word, God. I pray, God, let Your hand be upon us and all that is done and all that is said, and bring us back to the reality, oh God, that one day every man and woman under the sound of my voice, we will stand before You and give an account of our life. And I'm asking You in Jesus' name that You would touch us and make it real to us in the name of the Lord. Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now this may lean itself a little bit more toward a teaching than a preaching. I hope that's okay with everybody tonight. Okay, great. We often talk about the great white throne of judgment. And listen, if you're lost, if you don't get saved, you will stand before God and was known as the great white throne of judgment. Now you can find all about that over in Revelation chapter 20. And I got news for you, you don't want to be at that great white throne of judgment. Jesus Christ Himself, He is the one who is judge over that. All judgments given to the Son. But sometimes, even men and women that have had a born-again experience make the mistake of saying, well, brother, that's just, I've been saved now, so I'll never be judged. There's no judgment for me. Wrong, dear friend. You will not stand at the great white throne of judgment. That's for the sinner. But the Bible reveals something to you and me tonight, that there is a judgment for the child of God. It's a judgment known as the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ. It's not going to be a heaven or hell judgment. Men are not going to get to that bema seat and find out they were not born again. No, if you're there, you were born again. But God nevertheless judges a man on what he does and how not only faithful, but how fruitful was he in the house of the Lord. Amen. Does he do it with all of his heart? Friend, you will. Ma'am, sir, boy, girl, you will be judged of God. No avoiding, inescapable. Every person here will have their opportunity where it's you and Jesus. Now, what are we talking about here inside the Word of God tonight? The Apostle Paul,
He gives us this beautiful illustration. And he refers to the church as a temple. Now, it's not made with stones, and it's not an earthly temple, but it's a temple of God. Now, remember, in the Old Testament, the Lord has a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. Amen. He's building it through you. He's building it through your life. He's building it through your dedication. And the amazing thing is this. We give God the material that he's going to build this temple with. And we will either give him gold and silver and precious things, or we are going to give him wood and hay and stubble. And beloved, the difference is very simple. Amen. Wood and hay and stubble are things that are found all around. But gold and silver and precious stones are things that God to dig deep for. I'm telling you, beloved, if you're going to have that gold and silver and precious stone, you're not just going to live a run-of-the-mill, ordinary, yawning Christian life. There has still got to be a zeal and a burn and a yearn and a desire to do all that I can. Lord Jesus, let me live this life to the fullest.
I'm sad to say this evening, but most people inside of our churches, and I mean that across the United States of America, Pastor, they're not gold and silver and precious stones. They are wood, they are hay, and they are stubble. Help me, Holy Ghost, tonight. I didn't write the book. I am a paper boy tonight, though. Listen, beloved, I'm not saying they hadn't have a born-again experience. I'm not saying they hadn't asked Jesus to forgive them of their sin. But they seem to be doing the bare minimum requirements just to make it into the hallways of glory. I mean, in the book of Acts, it said, what must we do that we might be saved? But nowadays, they say, what can I do and still be saved? That ought not be our prayer. We ought not say, how close to the world can I live and still call myself a child of God? We ought to say, Lord, how far away from that world and that culture can I get? Let me draw closer unto the Lord. Let me live like you want me to live. If your foundation is Jesus Christ, and I can assure you every day, every way, you're giving God Almighty material to work with, material that one day you're gonna see. One day it'll all be revealed. One day there's going to be a test, young people. And God's word shows us that it's going to be a torch test. It's going to be fire. And God is going to show you and me not only what we did. Help me, Holy Ghost. God's going to show us why we did it. And God's going to show us to what intensity we really desired to do it with. Help me, Lord. Every man's work shall be made manifest. That is what God's word said. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You can fool me. You can fool your pastor. You can fool your spouse. But you cannot fool God. Beloved, hear me. On that great and terrible day, it's going to be a revealing. Amen. Nothing's going to make it past that fire. It's all going to be open. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible spoke about not letting your left hand know what your right hand does. What does that mean, Brother Estes? I'm telling you, there are some people, amen, they see a need, they reach in, but about that time they go to help at right hand. Amen. That left hand sees us and says, now wait just a second. Amen. Let me see what you got going on over here, right hand. Amen. And no, we don't need to give that. We don't need to sacrifice like that. Jesus said that ought not be. He said, when you see a need, just reach in and help. Just do it with all your heart. Beloved, you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged not just did you give, but did you give cheerfully? Did you give willingly? Did you do it out of your heart? And on that day, mark it down, dear friend, on that day, it will be a time of revelation. God will reveal what was always there, what was there all along. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire. One day we will see things from God's point of view. And can I tell you, beloved, there are a lot of things today that people are doing that God is not impressed with. Help me, Lord. Boy, that got good and quiet.
There's a lot of things that men and women are doing, even boasting about and bragging about, but one day they're going to stand before God and he's going to say this to them: ye are they which justify yourself before men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Friend, we put the emphasis on the brains. We put the emphasis on the bronze. We put the emphasis on the books, the beauty. I mean, all of those, that's how we judge things down here, and that's not how God Almighty judges it. We still need hearts that have pure motives, that say, Lord, don't let me just be fruitful, but let me be faithful, and let me do this with a willing heart, because I'm going to stand before God and hear him say, he's going to show me what was on the inside. Did I do this out of compulsion, or did I do this because I love him? Look at what God's word said in verse 13. The fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. It did not say what size it is. It said what sort it is. We are fascinated with bigness in America. It's a cult of bigness. If it's big, it's got to be right. No questions asked. And God says, I never judge it by the size. I always judge it by the sort. Help me, Lord. I don't judge you by the size of your ministry. I judge you by the sort of your ministry. I don't judge you by how big it is. I don't judge you by how many times your name is in lights, or how many times your name got on the front page of the newspaper. But here's what I will judge: how well you did with what I put inside of your hands. Say amen to me, somebody. I'm talking about, come on, we keep looking at the size. And we say, well, you know what, brother? Whenever that Sunday school finally starts running 30 and 40, that's when I'm going to get serious about studying the word of God. And God looks back at you and says, I'm never waiting for the size. I've been waiting for the sword. I don't care if it's just you and the wall. Give it all you got. Do it from your heart. Give it everything every time. Amen. Well, Pastor, one day, I love it. I see this with young people all the time in our Bible schools. I don't know what to call it. I call it the destination disease. One day, someday, over the rainbow somewhere, I'm going to get serious about serving God. When are you going to do it, boys? Well, you know, whenever missions convention comes, Brother Estes, man, I'm going to get in. And I'm going to seek God. And then missions convention comes. We say, okay, now's the time. Yeah, but you know what, man? I got so much going on. And so here's what I'm going to do. Whenever the choir comes to sing, and I mean, I don't know, whoever it may be, and I mean, they get up there and they sing, that's when I'm going to get serious. And I'm telling you, keep kicking the can down the road, and you keep saying, one day, someday. So I'm telling you, today, now is that you don't have 10 years. You don't have 15 years. Do it now. Make up your mind now. I want to serve him now. Quit waiting for the size and say, Lord, wherever I am, with whatever I got, let me do everything I can with everything you put in my hand. See them young boys at Bible school and say, hey, when are you going to get serious about having a prayer life? And they say, well, brother, that's just when I become a senior. I'm a freshman now. Give me some time. And then you become seniors. When are you going to get serious? Hey, young people, now you don't have to answer this open. You don't have to answer this openly, okay? But let me ask you this question. I just feel like asking somebody this question. When is your set time to pray? Oh, by the way, if you don't have a time to pray, God probably winds up with your scraps at the end of the day. Ouch. Ooh, boy, that got tight right there. I'm telling you, beloved. Yeah, but Brother Estes, I'm not the pastor. I'm not saying the size. It's the sort. It's you. It's not you versus somebody. It's you. I'm telling you. Then you say, well, you're a senior. When are you going to get serious about your prayer meetings? And then they say, well, never I become a youth pastor. Then they become a youth pastor. When are you going to get serious about your prayer meetings? And then they say, when I become a senior pastor. Then I'm just telling you, beloved, it's time that you make up your mind and say, Lord, one day I'm going to stand before the Lord. And it's not somewhere down there. It's today. Today. Today will be shown back to me. And today will be shown back. I don't know how God's going to do it, but the Lord said in his word that he will reveal it by fire. God is saying he's more interested in a handful of precious stone than is a truckload of hay and stubble. So what will we be judged by? I'm so glad you asked. I never thought you would. Stay with me for just a few minutes, okay? 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for of necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Verse 17 says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, and you can almost hear Paul gasp, but if against my will, then he adds this, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. It's as if he's saying, I can't even imagine anything like that. Paul says, I cannot imagine trying to do this without having a willing heart. You know what you're going to be judged by, young man? You will be judged by your attitude. If I do this thing willfully, I have reward. Now, while we're picking on our young Bible school boys, and I love you, you know I do. I love it. Because every now and again, they'll come up to me and they'll say, now, Brother Estes, I'm under the load, brother. Pray for me, brother. I have got to go preach. You do? Yeah, Brother Jarvis asked me to preach. It's vesper, and I got to do it. I hate to bust your bubble, but you don't got to nothing. You get to. You get to. I don't got to. I get to preach. It is. Let me tell you something. If your mentality is, I have got to teach that Sunday school class, I am sorry, there is no reward for you. Say amen. If your mentality is, I've got to come to the house of God, there is no. That's what God's words. If I do this thing, therefore, willingly, there is a reward. But if against my will, and he's dumbfounded by that statement, if you say, I have got to come to church, I have got to teach that class, you need to get victory tonight and say, Lord, get the got to out of me and put the get to in me and say, I get to come to the house of the Lord. I get to teach a Sunday school. I get to drive a bus. I get to usher in an aisle. I get to have a prayer meeting. There's a world of difference between a got to heart and a get to spirit.
Well, I got to come to youth service. There's no reward for you. Now, if people are disobedient, that's a whole other story. God will deal with their sin. Well, Brother Estes, I was obedient. I did it. You can't say I forsook the assemblies of ourself. I was here. You're right. I can't put a finger against you. But the problem is this. Your heart said, I got to go. Not I get to go. Brother Dolus Messer, you've got him as your speaker this year. He's a friend of mine. He told a story years ago. He may bring it up at the missions conference. Act like you never heard it and amen it when he says it, okay? He said there was an older pastor. He told Brother Messer, he said, yeah, I pastored that church for over 30 years. He said, I never wanted to do it. His words were, he said, I never wanted to be there. He said, but I was faithful, and there's therefore now reward for me. And Brother Messer stopped him with boldness, I mean, without trying to rebuke an elder, but he looked at him and said, sir, according to the word of God, your words will come back to haunt you, sir. Your words have just said before God, you did this without a willing heart. If you would not have pastored that church, if you'd have run, you'd have walked away from God, you'd been backslid as a goose. You were faithful. I can't say you weren't faithful. But there is there now for there no reward. No reward. Oh, God, help me tonight. Because I feel like I'm talking to somebody in this house. And the got to spirit has become so close to your heart again. You're checking in. You're checking out.
I mean, it's no difference than just any old job. I show up, nobody can say I wasn't here. But it's got to be so much more than that. On that day, listen, I can't tell because I'm just such a bleeding heart. I see them with a smile on their face and I just assume everything's all right, you know. But I'm telling you, God sees deeper than that. The Lord sees on the inside. The Lord knows what the motive of that soul is. The Lord knows why they're doing what they're doing. And the Lord says, amen, you will be judged on whether or not you had a willing spirit. You'll be judged on attitude. You will be judged on ability. Listen to what God's word said, Luke 12 and 48. I hope I ain't boring nobody tonight, am I? That he that knew not and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now, friend, let me tell you something. I do not know everything God's going to ask me on that judgment day. I don't know. But here's what I do know, Brother Hare. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, here's what God is not going to ask me. God is not going to look at me and say, Zane, why didn't you part the Red Sea? He's not going to look at me and say, Zane, why? Why didn't you kill Goliath? Because my name ain't Moses and my name ain't David. They have abilities and talents I never have, and I will not be held responsible for what you gave them. God is not going to judge you on what somebody else is able to do, and God is not going to judge me on what somebody else. God is going to look at you and says, I put gifts in your life, I put things in your life, I put people inside of your life, and that's the race that you are running. The race that you're running is not against me and you, it is against who you are right now and what you could be if you would just surrender to the Lord with all your heart and say, Lord, let me run my race. Boy, I hate to bust your bubble here tonight, but most of us in this house, okay, I'm sorry, most of us in this house are not five talent people. Hate it for you, we're not. But before you walk out of here with your head all bent down, most of us in this house are not one talent people either. Oh, you're so humble, you can't even pronounce the H, right? It's humble, by the way. Humble. I can't do nothing. Sometimes people call it humility, and I just call it poor posture. Anyway. Most of us in this house, we're two talent people. We're somewhere in the middle, okay? I'm not a one talent, you're not a one talent, I'm not a five talent, and you're probably not a five talent. I'm somewhere in the middle, and so are you. But you know what God says? Take those two and do what you need to do with them. Hallelujah. Take those two, and you know what I have seen? I have seen a few five-talent people in life. I knew one young man. I mean, you could look at him, you could say, hey, by the way, can you plumb this entire building, and when you get finished doing that, can you get up and preach for us tonight? Oh, and by the way, can you go ahead and interpret that into Spanish when you're preaching that? Oh, and by the way, can you play for the altar call as well? And when you get finished playing the piano, can you do a special on the saxophone for us? And he'd look back at me and he said, yeah, I can do all those things. I mean, the guy could do it, but here's the problem. He's backslid today. Just because you have talents doesn't mean that you're dedicated to God. Say amen. All I'm saying is with what God has put inside of your hand, say, Lord, let me use it. Don't let it be an excuse and I don't have as many talents as another man. Don't let it be an excuse that they can do more than what I can do. Lord, what you have asked me to do, oh God, let me do. Oh God. I got to move on. I am absolutely convinced when we all get to heaven, oh, what a day of rejoicing it'll be. But there's going to be some quote-unquote little people down here that's going to be big names over there. And vice versa, there are some quote-unquote big names here that
that some stuff's going to be revealed over there.
It will be a time of revelation. It will be a time of reward. Oh, I'm preaching too long tonight. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 3 and 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. That's God's word. Understand, wood, hay, stubble, not going to abide. Torch test comes, they're burned up. Gold, silver, precious stones, they live through the fire. The Bible said in verse number 8 of that same chapter, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now listen, this may come as a shock to some of us in this house here tonight, but you need to understand this. This may revolutionize your life. God is not a communist.
Some of you didn't know that, did you?
God is not a communist. Now that word communist, and the root of that word is common, which means every single person is absolutely the same. Now I hate to break your bubble here tonight, but in heaven, everybody is not the same.
Remember this? I thought we were all just little clones and we all just live. No. If that's so, then these verses would never make sense. Let me read just a few of these. I would call these ancillary or supportive verses here. Revelation 14 and 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. Your work for God, I don't know exactly how it translates over, but your work for God follows you. Well, Brother Estes, the only thing I ever did was just sit and slouch and soak and sour. Your work's going to... My name's Zane, I'm your friend. Revelation 22 and 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Matthew 6 and 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust doth corrupt, nor neither thieves do break in, nor do they steal. Beloved, if everybody was absolutely the same in heaven, those verses would not make sense. God says, I give rewards. I give rewards. Now, okay. So I've had young people ask me before. They say, okay, now, Brother Estes, let me ask you this. Does that mean that after that day, after that judgment day, that is how it is for eternity? We're kind of stuck there. Is that what you're saying? Okay, now let me give you my official, professional, theological response. Are you ready? Does that mean that that's how it is throughout eternity? I mean, we have this one reward and that's how it is. I mean, you're here or you're here. Okay, you ready for my response? Here's my response. I don't know. Thank you. I don't know. Sorry, people let you down. I don't know. But let me ask you this question. When in heaven are you going to have an opportunity to fast for a lost loved one? When in heaven? Oh, I'm talking to somebody right here. When in heaven are you going to have an opportunity to sacrificially give that the work of the Lord can go forth? When in heaven are you going to be able to bless those that despitefully use you? When in heaven are you going to do good to those that have done wrong to you? When in heaven are you going to have an opportunity to stand up when everybody around you is persecuting you for your convictions and your standards and the way that you live? Beloved, that happens all down here. I don't really know. I don't have an answer for you as far as you saying, Brother Estes, is that how it is throughout eternity? I don't know, but here's what I do know. I wouldn't risk it. I wouldn't play games with it. I'd say, Lord, I can't pay. Make up for yesterday. I can't make up for 15 years ago. I'll cut my losses and let them go. But from this day forward, oh God, let me run my race. Oh God, let me run my race. 1 John 1, 2 and 28 says, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So
So, beloved, I'm asking somebody tonight, not, if Jesus came tonight, the question is not, would you be ready? The question is, would you be regretful? Oh, God. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I'm trying to close. Give me just a minute. We was boys growing up, Marty and me, summertime, Mama would give us that list of chores. Now, my brother is a workaholic. If he's listening to this, I will testify to the moon. He's a workaholic. He's great work ethic. Whew. But a kid growing up, there is hope if you have a lazy teenager, by the way. There is hope for you, too. Aggravate the stew out of me. Hallelujah. And I would do my half of the chores, and I'd put a big check. Mow the yard, check. Clean up, blah, 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 check. And old Marty'd sit around. And Dad would come home. He'd pick up that piece of paper, and he'd see it half done. And we both got the wrath of Dad. I had enough of that. It didn't take long. I said, this check business is for the birds. I'd get finished mowing the yard, I'd put a big Z. I'd do something, I'd put a big Z. Every one of them things I'd do, I'd put a big Z. By that time, I'd hear Dad pull up in that driveway. I'd reach over, I'd get that paper, man, I'd run to Dad. Come on here. All I'm telling you is the Lord's going to return soon. And when he does, I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want him to look at the things that he told me to do and see a big Z beside him and say, Lord, I did these things willingly. I did it with all my heart. And I did it for the divine glory of the Lord. Oh, somebody help me tonight. He's coming soon. And I want to have confidence when I meet him.
I'm closing.
Friend, it will be a time of revelation. It will be a time of reward. It will be a time of regret. Matthew 5:19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men also, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do these and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Another verse, let me put this into your heart tonight. 2 John 1:8. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Friend, I cannot fully explain it, but one day, every opportunity is going to face us again. One day, God's going to reveal not only what we did, but why. You can't go in the past. You can't change yesteryear. You can't make amends for a decade ago. But I believe this is my best advice I can give you, being led by God. You cut your losses. You pick up right now. And you say, God, let me run with all my heart. Sister, can you help me tonight? We talk about no tears in heaven. Wrong. The Bible says he wipes away all tears. And I know there are people who say, oh, no, brother, that's just a little cabin in the corner of glory. That's good enough for me. You say what you want. God's word said, he shall suffer loss. Can you imagine, just take a moment. Here's a man in the middle of the night. He wakes up, he can hardly inhale because of the smoke in that room, Sister Johnson. He opens his eyes and it begins to sting. And he sees those dancing embers of fire race back and forth across that ceiling. He realizes his entire home is engulfed in flames. By instinct, natural reaction of instinct, he jumps out that window, plunges to that ground, rolls over a few times, looks up, and there he hears the screams and cries of his wife and his children as they are captured in that home. The heat prevents him from drawing close. And as they cry, "Oh, help me, please," that house implodes. And then a neighbor comes by and sees him on the ground and helps lift him off and helps brush him off. And about that time, that man looks at that house that has imploded, and then that man begins to smile and he says, "Ha, ha, ha, I made it! I'm alive! I made it!" "You know as good as I do, that's not what he says." And I'm telling you, on that day, when God reveals to you every person you could have found saved, and you would have found saved, God said, "You shall suffer loss." Brother Greg, I ain't made it past the judgment bar yet. By the grace of God, I know my sins are under the blood. I'm on my way to heaven. But it's a hard thing to do, brother, to fall back asleep when the Holy Ghost wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, "Zane, how many souls you think are in hell, son, because I told you to pray and you rolled back over and went to sleep? Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. Ye shall suffer." Friend, we may not have long left, but every person under the sound of my voice, you'll go, if you're saved, you'll go through that test. It'll be a time of revelation. It'll be a time of reward. It'll be a time of regret. Father, I come to you this evening, Lord, and I ask you that you would touch our hearts tonight, Lord Jesus. I ask you, God, that you would deal with us, oh God. God, I pray that you would give us the wisdom, God, to begin to live now with a heavenly perspective in mind. Oh God, that our world, God, would not be so captivated by foolish fads and fans and whatever it may be that's here. That we would see those things, God, as unworthy of your attention. And that one more time you would deal with our hearts tonight. Everything, God, that can be burned will be burned on that day. And my prayer tonight is, oh God, burn it out on this side. Oh God, burn it out now. Before I ever get over there, take it all out. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, your hearts are open tonight. You say, "Brother Estes, I truly want God to deal with me, that when he comes, the question is not would I be ready. The question is would I be regretful?" You can't change the past. You can't go into yesteryear. But today, from this night, let this night be a mark, a turning, something special. Tonight, let tonight be the night God shows you things the way he sees it. You're here and you say, "Brother Estes, I truly want God to deal with me because I want to be right upright when I stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ." I believe that's every last one of us, isn't it? I want us all to come, every last one of us. Church, I've preached to every last one of us in this house. Come on, let's come to these altars. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to deal with us tonight. God, forgive us for going through the rut.